Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
State of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Hinners, and you're listening to Hour One of the Show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that my signal comes in a little bit better before the show ends, or it kind of seemed like it was breaking up a little bit. Welcome to the show, folks, and we're glad you're here on this 27th day of September. Holy crap, this year is really going by fast. Lately, I've been starting my show with an advertisement of my new book that has just been published. The book's website, our website is done now, and the address is http://486918187, and the website for it is at http://gardingr.wix.com/book-store-. And I just put that in chat room there. Hopefully, people will be able to go there and check them out. Buy the book. If you like mysteries and surprises, you'll like this one. Thank you in advance. Since Conservative Nation Media is not operational right now, I will tell you that we will be back after the election. CNN will be back, and we will all be back to two-hour shows like we were before, only better. We have a nation to save, and now we have to go on with the show. Tales of Apocalypse, followed by a dystopian nightmare political system that takes complete oligarchy-style control using technology that makes Orwell's Big Brother look like small potatoes is common news theme in much of today's and yesterday's science fiction genre. As an avid reader, I have read quite a few of them. The most liberal science fiction writers understand human nature and how the tendency of humanity is to devolve into the chaos, tyranny, and the slavery of the system ruled over by a ruling elite. Liberty is not the norm in history, nor shall it be the norm in the future. Only a virtuous people is capable of freedom, and we fall short of glory each and every time if left to our own devices, which we have really noticed lately with the way that this nation is being run now, because we have left everything to our own devices. And we have figured out that, well, hopefully we have figured out that left to our own devices, this nation is going to go to hell in a handbasket really fast. History. It never has been, and it never will be. Only a virtuous people is capable of freedom. That is how we started this nation, as a pretty much virtuous people, trying to get away from the oligarchy of England and every other country in the world. And if we fail to follow the set of standards of morality and limited government as offered in the scripture and in the United States Constitution, we're going to fail. This country is going to go down the tubes very quickly. In those fictional tales of apocalyptic writers, the writers offer, world after world, the world after the fall of America and the demise of capitalist economic system leaves the world in a dark place. All it does, a gloomy world of government control, invasive technology, and a yearning for a world when people were once free. Which brings me back to what I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I talked about Reagan and his speech where he said that America is the last best hope for mankind when it comes to freedom. Once America's gone, there will be no other. The slavery of the future, however, is not caused by individual-centric systems and the free choice of informed citizens, the result of an uninformed public allowing the powers to be to bring about tyranny in the name of socialist wealthy and the powerful claiming they were following a dream of utopia. No money, no war, possessions, no suffering, and a society where people do the things they do, not for themselves, but for the benefit of the community around them. And that's pretty much how Hillary Clinton talks. She says that we have to be there for the good of the community, not the good of self. And that's where capitalism and socialism part, because capitalism is the betterment of self through the freedom of having a small government. Socialism is the betterment of the government, which gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it grows, and the people have to give more and more and more money to this bigger and bigger and bigger government until the people have no money and the government gets rid of it and dies. Because without money, it's going to die. Dreaming that humanity is capable of achieving a utopian society is ambitious, but simply fiction. The founding fathers understood human nature. This nation was not the reality of us, of who we are as a flawed species. The Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and other writings by the founding fathers were constructed following a lifetime of experience and result and research. The founding fathers studied history, including their own history of the facts as Englishmen, as well as the rise and fall of Greek and Roman empires. Their research and heavy debates led the framers to the Constitution to create a political system that would protect liberty and last many generations. And in this many generations, we've heard tales, the story of how after the Constitution and everything was, after they had drawn up this and formed the new government, Ben Franklin walked out of the building and was stopped by a woman who asked him, "Sir, what have you given us?" And Ben Franklin said, "You have a republic for as long as you can keep it." And in that line is the crux of what we have going today. We have a republic for as long as we can keep it. And no matter what we think about this, and no matter what people say about having a bigger government will take this republic and throw it in the toilet while flushing it down along with all the other refuse of. And if we don't stop this trend of taking our nation and making it the butt of everything that is going on and making it the bad person of everything that is happening in this nation, that we are not going to survive. This nation has to survive in order for it to give a home for the nation's children and the things that we want our children to have for their future. Because at the rate we're going, folks, our nation's not going to exist for our children. Our children are going to grow up in a much different world than we grew up in. We have now things coming out where this coming generation is going to be the first generation ever in the United States to do as good as their parents did. To me, that is not a good way to start a life. That is not a good way to make our children want to live and with the idea that they know that nothing is going to be as good for them as it was for their parents. Life is good. Life has always been good here in the United States. Why are we so adept or so desirous to destroy it? To me, that is one of the worst things we can do, and it seems like that is the one thing we want to do. Just keep right on doing it. It's sad that we want to do this to our nation. It's sad that we think we have to, for we have the greatest nation this world has ever seen. One of the worst nightmares that can befall in America today is identity theft and just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding customer service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. Jihadi John has been identified. The ISIS propaganda killer, Jihadi John, or that masked coward, as I call him, that has been beheading while mocking President Obama, has been identified apparently by the American Federal Bureau of Information, the FBI, according to claims, but the organization won't reveal his identity or nationality for operational reasons. And I can't figure out why those operational reasons are. I think it's just because Obama doesn't want them to give out the information. He's afraid that somebody will go after him. Well, rightfully so. Somebody should. During a press briefing at the FBI headquarters in Washington, the director, James Comey, said, quote, "I believe that we have identified him. I'm not going to tell you frustratingly little other information." When pressed on what action the United States would be taking, when he said the security services would be prioritizing his capture, but on what specific action would be taken, Comey remained elusive, of course, remarked, quote, "We will extend the efforts that I think the American people would want us to and expect us to," unquote. Comey believes ISIS are going to try to do something in the United States and other allied nations. Well, of course, they've been telling us this. Why is it that our government and our leaders are so afraid of admitting what the truth is? ISIS, the ISIS terrorist known as Jihadi John, shot to international prominence after he appeared in a number of ISIS propaganda films, apparently beheading American and British hostages while trading accusations with President Obama and Prime Minister Cameron, in common with other beheaders who have imitated the style and substance of videos of publicly unidentified terrorists make demands for allied powers to cease airstrikes against ISIS in Syria and Iraq. Now, I think it is a move to protect him that we are not releasing his name, because if they do, I think a lot of us will be going after him, a move that he would deserve. But, of course, the Obama administration would want that. How would he? All kinds of problems. On the Wednesday broadcast of Fox News Channel's special report, Washington Post columnist Charles Krauthammer criticized the rationale behind President Barack Obama's address to the United Nations earlier in the day. Krauthammer noticed the moral equivalence aspects, despite casualties suggesting otherwise, as well as Obama's soft rhetoric on Iran's nuclear ambitions. Quote, it surely wasn't taken out of context, and he intended a moral equivalence, Krauthammer said. Quote, I read what he said. In a summer marked by instability in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe, I know the world also took notice of Ferguson. That is, you know, as George Will said, we have people who slit throats on television, take their heads off in some places. We have countries that invade their neighbors. More people, incidentally, have been in Eastern Ukraine than died in the Gaza War. No one knows that. A lot of death. But on the other hand, we have a shooting in Missouri, still unresolved. Nobody's been charged yet, and thus everyone ought to know. This is a continuation of the apology tour or the confession tour that took place. At least one thing you can say about the improvement of Obama's treatment of his own country is that 6 years ago he ran around the world talking about our sins. But here at least he stayed home and did it from the podium of the United Nations. Unquote. The other thing that was unremarked about this speech, that this is the weakest statement ever issued on Iran and nukes. We no longer hear Iran cannot possess nukes. We're not going to allow this. This will not happen. He now says we're in negotiations. Iran has an opportunity to rejoin the community of nations. This can only happen if Iran takes this historic opportunity. In other words, Iran will decide if it wants to go nuclear, no threats. Forget about seeing everything on the table. He doesn't even talk about sanctions, which are collapsing. This week, a Chinese ship docked in an Iranian port so they could have joint naval exercises, and they're still talking about how Iran, it's still isolated. This is a surrender on Iran as our negotiations are reaching a deadline within a month. Unquote. This is something that I have been saying for a long time now, folks, and I'm glad to see COG in there, and how are you tonight, and to see you here. We have the problem right now that we have a president who cares more for the enemy than he does about protecting this nation and protecting people who live here. If it was left up to him, he wouldn't want to protect the United States. He wouldn't want to do anything to protect us, because that's just not what he wants to. He wants to make sure that we are the bad guys in the world. He wants to make sure that we will not do anything that he essentially wants to stop us from doing anything that will help the United States. But he wants us to do everything that will help the enemy. And the thing that drives me nuts about this is there's so many people out here who don't agree with this, who, you know, and they're saying that his approval ratings right now are at 39%. And I still ask this question, why are they so high? Why do so many people still believe he is doing this country a service by doing what he's doing? We have people in Muslims in Oklahoma City, or in Oklahoma, beheading people in workplace violence, and they're calling it workplace violence. We have Eric Holder now retiring. He shouldn't have been allowed to retire. He should have been indicted first. But he's not. He's retiring, and he'll probably go on to become a member of Obama's cabinet or Secretary of State or something. He'll be something, because this isn't the last we're going to hear of that man. He's going to go down in Obama's history as being one of the greatest people that ever helped him destroy this nation. Then we have things like the 911 phone call for help during the beheading in Oklahoma. Witnesses reporting the suspect shouting Islamic phrases during attack. And we have that coming out, yet police are classifying that as workplace violence. I don't understand this kind of thinking. This is insane. It really is. If we can't call anything for what it really is anymore, because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. Well, boo-hoo, this was not workplace violence. This was a terror murder. Just like the things in Fort Hood in Texas was. That was called a workplace violence. No, it wasn't. That was a terrorist carrying out what he felt he needed to do to help the cause of Islam. We're just kind of sitting back, just allowing all of this to happen, all of this going on. It's insane, folks. How can we save this freaking nation if we don't do what's needed to save it? America is the greatest country this world has ever seen. But we have people in charge right now who are looking at it and saying, well, we've had our day. America's best years are behind her. It's time to give up on it. It's time to just let this nation go to hell in a handbasket. Let's flush it down the toilet. Let's let the terrorists in the Middle East take over. There's nothing we can do about it now. We can't beat 1,000 people. We have Obama telling everybody that we cannot beat ISIS, when in our history, we beat Nazi Germany, Imperial Japan, in 4 years, giving them everything we had, not worrying about what people we would offend if we did it, not worrying who we would offend if we did it. We did it to save this nation, to show the world that we would not take what they were giving us. We didn't care if somebody didn't like it. We did what we had to do. Today, trying to do what we have to do is something that we can't do because we're going to offend somebody. And all I can say on that one is, oh, boo-hoo. If we're going to offend somebody because we're trying to show the world that we have a right to be here, because we're showing the world that America is a great country, and that if we are allowed to be this great country, if somebody needs help, we can help them. We can't allow that, because we might offend somebody. This whole thing that this country is being led, the path that this country is being led down right now is nothing more than telling the whole world that everybody in this world, no matter who they are or what they have done to get what they've got, they're all victims, and they're all victims of the United States, because we're so arrogant and we're so great that we had to trample on somebody to get where we are. I don't know, but I have a feeling that my dad is probably turning over in his grave over this. My dad fought in the Pacific during World War II. He saw the horrors of war. He saw what we needed to do to win that war. And he saw that our government was going to allow everything that was needed to do to win it was done. He's probably turning over in his grave, seeing our nation today cowering under the threat of a small group of people who we could probably wipe out in a fairly short time if we would just go out and hit them with everything we had. But no, we can't do that. We might offend somebody. We might offend one of them. Who knows? To have them think that we're going to go after them because we don't like their ideals? That's offensive. We can't do that. And I keep looking at this whole thing, and Obama is right at the top of that list of people who will sit there and tell the world that we can't do that because we don't want to offend anybody. Obama has been on an apology tour since before he took the White House. He's been on an apology tour against the United States since before the day he said we are engaged in fundamental changing America. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was going to try and do. And it seems like I'm out of time, but I pretty much got everything said that I needed to say. I'm glad that COG came in, victim or blamer. Good to see you there, too. I will be back next week. And starting at the after the elections, Conservative Nation Media will be back in force. And that's what I've been told. And everybody will be back next week for my half hour until we can get ourselves back online. And have yourself a great week, a blessed week, and stay safe. God bless you, and good day.
you all.